Chapter 1. Being branded with a hot iron would be a more pleasant experience than this fresh hell. My gaze rose to the ornate architecture surrounding the throne room as the last in the long line of suitors bumbled through his offer for my hand. My father, King James Stuart VII, sat on the throne with my mother next to him. He played with his white speckled beard while his gaze remained stoic. It was one of his more identifiable tells. He was just as bored with these simpering fools as I was. My mother, on the other hand, seemed to be enthralled with each suitor. She smiled endlessly, and every so often she wound a stray wisp of her auburn hair around her finger as she listened. She was trying, which was more than I could say for me. My father called these men noble, but while they may have been from a family with high political or social ties, they certainly did not represent what noble meant to me. This entire ordeal was a farce, and what made things worse was my father expected me to pick a husband from this sad lot. It wasn't as if they were the bane of human existence. A couple of them were lookers, but none of them truly had what I was looking for. Spark. Fire. Passion. These things were missing, replaced with a cockiness that I abhorred. Their demeanor suggested I should be the one bowing down to them, as if God had granted me a unique viewing of perfection incarnate. Others offered the brawn without the brains, and I really needed someone intellectually stimulating. I glanced at my father after the last had stated his lineage and what he offered. Every one of them only offered goods in exchange for my hand, like I was something to barter for instead of an equal to build a lasting connection with. If one had said he offered a promise of a lifetime of adventure, love, and happiness, that would have been the man I chose in a heartbeat. I wanted someone who saw me as their partner, not a possession. Not one of these men would do. I met my father's gaze and shook my head. He gave a wave and the room started to clear. Both my parents waited until the audience was gone and the doors to the throne room closed before turning to me.
"May, what was wrong with these men?"
my father asked. My mother let out a chuckle and exchanged a glance with me. "They think of her as a prize, sweetheart, not a heart to be won."
"That's poppycock, and you know it,"
he said as he stood. "Did you hear a one offering her a future like no other?" she asked. My father's lips thinned.
"This isn't negotiable. You are going to choose a suitor, one whom I approve of, within the next fortnight. Understand?"
"Do you not want your only daughter to be as happy as we are?" my mother chided.
"My dear Catherine," he said, taking my mother's hands, "our marriage was arranged as well."
"Aye, but I did not know that when you went about wooing me. You had long weaseled your way into my heart before my parents told me we were already betrothed. Had you come before me in this setting in the way these boys did, I would have scoffed just as much as May." I could see the wheels in my father's head plotting against me with his choice for a proper husband. "I will choose when I am good and ready," I said.
"You have a fortnight. If not, I will choose for you."
He gave me a final nod before he spun and stalked out of the throne room. My mother sighed and turned her gaze to me. "You're going to have to stop being so fussy, my dear." She glanced at the window as the last of the light faded from the sky. "It's time to gather in the great hall." I sighed and brushed my flame-red hair out of my face. "Do I have to?" "Aye, mingle. See if anyone grows on you." "Fine." I followed her to the great hall where the families of the line of men volleying for my attentions all gathered. The tension in the room was as thick as the scent of the feast. The boys posturing with each other was like watching dueling roosters. The minute they noticed I was in the room, they made a mad dash to my side, doting on me in the most annoying of ways. While most girls would love a group of men getting her drinks and food and dessert, nearly falling all over themselves to do so, it grated on my nerves. "I'm perfectly capable of feeding myself," I snapped as spoons and forks were shoved in my face. "Now please, give me some space." As if they were one single unit, they all stepped back, letting me breathe a little before they all tried to engage in further conversation. That was when he caught my eye. A man stood in the shadows, leaning against the wall in a manner that was both relaxed and possibly the sexiest damn thing I had ever seen. He had not been amongst the suitors in the throne room. I would have remembered that intense stare and sense of aloofness. He stood taller than most men in the room, with a build that was 100% muscle.